All right, you have your Bibles tonight. Did you bring your Bible or something that you write on? Did you bring a pad or whatever? And I want to talk about keep your focus or keeping your focus in 2022 or 2021, 23 now, but keeping your focus on 2020. Don't focus on 2022 because it's already gone, 2022. Focus on 2023. Praise God. Amen. So this is a topic on faith life, of course. I want to like to maybe get our faith studies back on Wednesday nights for a while, faith night. You know, we can declare that for a while. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, 39, I'm going to read you the scripture we read, I think, three times already. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, 39, I'm reading the New Living Translation. I hope you got my notes back there. Did you get them back there? Yeah. Okay, so, and my righteous ones will live by faith. You know, I saw in the Bible, Romans chapter 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith, the King James says. And then, of course, the King James says in Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. That's another good scripture. The just shall live by faith. Those that have been declared righteous by Jesus shall live by faith. Then it says over there in Galatians, I think it's chapter 3, verse 11. I'm not sure if the quote, maybe somebody can give it to me right away. But it says, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, chapter 2. That scripture has been quoted back there in the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. Then we see over there in the chapter, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Excuse me, 5 and 7. Now the just shall walk by faith. We shall walk by faith, not by sight. And you see that over and over in the scriptures. And I'll remind you throughout this time, we're going to talk again about, keep your focus. This year we want to keep our focus on the things that matter most. And what matters most in your life is God's word right now. What did he say? If you have a problem, what did God say about it? And you have your answer. And we have to walk in light of that, walk in line with it, and make ourselves accustomed to that light and walk in it. And that's where we need to be. So, Hebrews 10:38, New Living, says, and my righteous ones will live by faith. Notice this, but I will take no pleasure in the one who turns away. That is to turn away from faith. That is to turn away from walking with God and his word. Then verse 39 says, but we are not like those. Who's those? Those who will not walk by faith. Those who turn away from God. You know, God and his word are one. You can't have the word, or you can't walk with God without the word. So you need the word to walk with God. And so it says to their own destruction. So in other words, those who don't walk by faith and they want to do their own thing, they're going to destruction. And the devil wants you there so he can destroy you. The Bible says, John 10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. So we don't want that. So we are the faithful ones. Everybody say, I'm the faithful one. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And thank God for that. Amen. We are saved. Bible says we're saved, and final salvation of everything is going to be one day. Our bodies will have brand new bodies. Thank God. So the message I want to get across to you today is don't drift away, and stay focused on the Word. Don't drift away. And let's go over here and just read something here that Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1-4, that Paul reminds those Hebrew Christians who had the scriptures all along. They had the scriptures, and some of them drifted away because of whatever reason, selfishness, different motivations, sin, whatever it was, that you can drift away. Anything can make you drift away. Pleasures can take you away. When people are having a great time, they don't need God anymore. They got their car. They got themselves a wife. You know, they're going to, whatever they got, and then they don't need God because they're doing okay. And so they forget God. And the Bible says we shouldn't forget God. I think it's Deuteronomy 18:18 says, you know, it's God who made us prosper. And we shouldn't forget him when we are doing good. Amen? And so here, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, Paul, we believe Paul's writing this Hebrews. You know, it doesn't have an author on there. It doesn't say written by who, but we determine that by the style of writing and the knowledge this person possessed. And his character really is remarkable to sound and look like Paul. How many people know that we could tell if you wrote me a letter? It could be you, and not anybody else would know certain things. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, right? Or we may drift away from it. It's easy to drift away if you're not careful. If somebody said, here's $20, go to the store over here and get some certain items, and you think you've got a quick mind, and you listen very carefully, and you get there, you forget, what did my wife want anyway? Anybody ever done that? I've done it. I had to go all the way back home and find out what I did, what I was supposed to do, backtrack, you know. And so verse 2 says, for the message God delivered through angels had always stood firm. Thank God for a word from an angel. Amen. How many would like a word from an angel? Well, I'll rap at your window tonight and talk to you. And you see my face there. I says, that looks like Pastor. But he's got a flashlight. Okay, so it stood firm. An angel's word stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So imagine that. If you heard a word of an angel and you don't obey it, something can happen. And verse 3 says, what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself, then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? That's the apostles. They heard Jesus, saw him every day. You know, we want firsthand knowledge. What did Jesus say last? You know, so on. And God confirmed the message, giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit wherever he chose. So God gave a word and he continued to confirm it. I like the scripture in Mark 16:20, and God confirmed his word with signs following. So we saw in our last discussion that in order to move ahead with God or the plans of God, we have to keep our focus on the future in terms of what God said in his word regarding his plans and purposes for our lives. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29, God has good plans for us. There's no disaster in it. And if you're living right now and sickness comes, well, that's not God's plan. Just reject it and believe God for better. If you're having some losses, don't look at that. Look at what the word says and continue to move on. We don't ignore it. It's there. But we choose to look at the word instead. Amen? We don't, you know, faith doesn't just ignore and pretend problems are there. They're there. But we don't consider that as the last answer. The word of God is the last answer. Amen? Can you say amen? I'm getting excited up here, man. Woo! Praise God. Amen. And so the devil will do all that he can to disrupt you out of your chances to live a super-duper life. And God is not pleased with us when we turn back against his word and follow after other things. In fact, he's not pleased. You know, the Bible says over here in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. So whatever revelation you have concerning your life, whether the Holy Spirit spoke to you directly in your spirit or he gave you scriptures for it, he wants you to obey it. Sometimes, you know, we get a word from the Lord, then we don't follow after it. We don't act on it. And the Lord says, for 3 or 4 days, the Lord says to me, go give that lady across the street $100. And I had that $100 in my pocket too. And he says, go give that, So I said, it's probably not there. I don't feel like giving, I don't know, do that today. I'm cold. It's cold outside. It's January. So I walked over there, and the door, nobody was there. Nobody answered the door. I said, see, Lord, I told you. So maybe you should not need that money. I can keep that here and buy some bakery from the Kern River. That was a temptation. I forgot I don't eat anymore bula and all that stuff. I have to stop eating that. I look like the bula man. Remember that guy? He's a little chubby guy. Looks something like Pastor Kent. I told him I could only have one bad thing to tell him every time I preach now. So that's only one. That's actually a good one. So anyway, we walk by faith. So the Apostle Paul says here, I mentioned it earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We say that around here a lot. We're faith people. I said we're faith people. I said we're faith people. That's how we're known in Thunder Bay. You go to that church? Yeah, those faith people. Yeah, those faith people. Those prosperity bunch. They say, yeah, I'm one of those guys. But you don't have any money? It don't matter. I'm still a faith person. The Bible says, I believe by faith in Jesus. So, God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. But what does that actually mean, to walk by faith in our daily lives? It means that we walk by the principles stated in the Word of God, not by the way we see things, and not by the way how we feel about life. You remember the 12 spies? Two of them believed a good report, even though they saw bad. And those other guys believed, what they saw, but they didn't believe the word. God says, you could take the land. And they died. And the other ones made it. So you don't want to die. You don't want to lose the promises of God. That's the way many function today. That's the way many people live, even majority of church people in Christian churches. They walk by sight. If you read their status on Facebook, if you read whatever they got, they're always asking everybody, can you pray for me? And yet they're older Christians. And they're asking people to pray for them about things that God told them already the answers about. You don't have to pray for things that God already stated in His Word. Just go ahead and claim it and say, thank God, it's mine. I'm not going to act on it. I'm believing it. Hallelujah. Why would I pray for you for things God already told you already? Please pray for me that I'll obey God. No, 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 no. Just go ahead and obey God. Amen? Please pray for me that I'll give. No, you just go ahead and give. Pray that I'll begin to go to church. No, go to church. He said go to church. So all of you, please listen to me. You need to go back to church. Say, well, I'm scared of COVID-19. No, no, wait a minute. There's no such thing. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, listen, we take precaution around here. And everybody's coughing. No, I'm just kidding. No, we take precaution. We do everything we can to follow the laws of the land. Right? We wash our hands. We wash our feet. We do whatever we can to protect ourselves. If you got a little cough, you stay home. No, we do whatever we can to follow with the laws of the land. And we follow God, too. If they told us don't don't preach the word of God. No, that's not what we'll do. We'll preach the word of God no matter what the government says. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you have to watch what you say on TV. Yeah? You can't say anything controversial about what color your eyes are and so forth. So, many people function in the body of Christ by walking by sight. Brother Hagin used to say this, and I always wondered about it. He said, you know, I travel lots in this world. And I go to church, and it seems to me, you know, they're singing about we're the word church, and they proclaim the word church, and they do all this and that, jump around. But he says, in my experience, there's very few people, very few churches that are word churches. When trouble comes, they'll say, oh, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to do what we did last time. That is to believe God's word. And so no matter if you're afraid or whatever happens in your life, he didn't say you'll never have bad feelings. So there's a time when you are to walk by faith and use the knowledge you have, what you've been taught in church by those who taught you. There's a time you have to start using that. You know, the Israelites walked following a cloud and fire for 40 years. They saw that cloud, they saw the fire, and they followed that for 40 years, and they were fed by manna from heaven. And those two things are supernatural things. And when they arrive at a place called Gilgal, and you know, in the last teaching, we told you about a man by the name of Elisha. I don't know what reserve he's from or what clan he's from. But Elisha was called by God to follow a man by the name of Elijah. God told him. And Elijah was complaining, and he was fearful, and he was disappointed in life, and he was doing all these gymnastics, not following God. And God says, okay, I'll find somebody else who'll do the job. And God says, I'm going to use this man called Elisha. Go find him. And he found him, and he threw his mantle on him. That was a sign that the anointing of God or the calling of God was upon his life back in the old day. From that moment forward. And the man says, Elijah, I'll follow you. Remember we talk about following? I'll follow you, but let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye. And there was some discussion there. He says, yeah, but don't forget what I just did for you or to you. I threw my mantle on you. And now you're a called man. You're a marked man. God called you. I'm not calling you. God is calling you. And every one of you, like Elijah, has been called by God to do something for him. And you better know what it is. Because in 1998, when the Lord came in my car and told me to go to the ministry, he said to me, this is what he said to me. I can't tell you everything. So if you can read my lips. He said to me, what are you going to do? What's that degree going to do with the persons I call you to serve, to minister to? What are you going to do with the call? And I said to the Lord, what call? So God knew that I knew I was called. And so do you. You know what you're called. When I went to Rainbow, I was praying one morning. I said, Lord, why did you send me over here? I don't like it here. I don't like grandma. I don't like it in this place. Complaining to God, just like Elijah, and just like all those other Israelites, complaining. I think some of you probably complained coming here tonight. It's a privilege to be at Faith City Church. We're not going to always be here, but it's a privilege and an honor. And you better not forget that. So I was complaining and And I was asking God, why'd you send me here in the first place? I didn't want to be here. There's other schools in Canada, and it's cheaper too. And the money back in that day, we had a recession. And I said, the dollar is a whole lot better in Canada. You know what? It don't matter for God. If he said to do something, he don't look at it, no dollar. Right? He don't look at a dollar. He just said, come on, I still call you, even though you don't have anything right now. I still call you. Are you going to change your mind because you got a bump on the road? And so I said, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. But that was back in 1990 when he said to me that. But in 1998, the Lord spoke to me when I was in Tulsa. I said, Lord, why you send me here? And Brother Hagin pointed at me. I said, me, because I was one of those people sitting there. And he pointed right at me. He said, the reason the Lord, when Jesus appeared to me, 1951, I believe it was, in September, he says, go teach my people faith. He said, when Jesus called me and told me to go teach my people faith, he told you to go teach my people faith. And just like that, I got my answer. Now, you're not going to like everything about your calling. You might not like all the people you're with, but you're going to learn to love them. They might not be your favorite culture. They might not be your favorite. They might not like, you know, the same kind of music and like your same stuff. But they're the people you're going to love the most because they're the ones that God put you with. They're going to be the most significant people in your life. I don't gather that myself and Pastor Ken would ever be together if it wasn't for Jesus. He likes to drive fast cars. I didn't have a car. Brother Hagin said he was so poor when he was young, when he was a kid or when he was growing up, he didn't have enough money not even to have a stick horse. You know, that's pretty cheap, isn't it? Anybody big a stick horse? But we're not always happy with it. But God told you to walk by faith. When they arrived at Gilgal, which is a place, by the way, that I was trying to get to, that Elisha had to go to follow with the man called Elijah. He went to all, every place. If you look in chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, and you see there that God, he tagged along. He said, I'm not letting my eyes off you, man. I'm keeping my eyes on you. And wherever you go, I'm going. And at the end of his life, he says for, I think it was 15 years or 12 years, I think it was, that he followed this man. He served him in his ministry. The last verse of that scripture in chapter 19, 1 Kings 19, last verse there, the Bible says that Elijah served the other man called Elijah, or Elisha served Elijah. I get all mixed up these names. Sound the same thing. So he served him. And he said, I don't want more of what I have, but I want what you got. I want a double of what you got. But he had to go to all these places. Everybody has to have their Gilgal experience. At Gilgal, the Bible says in that chapter, it says, at Gilgal, the fire and cloud ceased. No more walking by sight. No more manna. No more manna. Manna stopped falling. They didn't have manna anymore, so they ate the old corn of that year. They had to start walking by faith. Gilgal is the place we all go to, and that is we all have to walk by faith. They went to Bethel, where they had to encounter God through prayer. At Bethel is a place where we meet God face to face as a man of God, as you see in the Old Testament, Jacob met God. God talked to him. And every one of us need to meet God in our prayer time. He went to Jericho. In Jericho, there's a fight going on. Everybody has to go over into the other land, right? Thank God. But, you know, we had to have our spiritual experience, you know. You know, where the devil, Jesus, at the Bible says at Jordan, Jordan there, when they went to Jordan, and that's where the man of God went to, Elisha. Jesus at the River Jordan, where they had a supernatural experience where, you know, where the voice of God came, the cloud came, a voice came from heaven, and he heard the Father speak to him, "This is my beloved Son." And then at that place where the devil met him, and he had to have his warfare. Every one of us needs to fight the spiritual warfare. It's getting hot in here. Are you getting hot, my cameraman back here? Yeah. She's got a big, heavy coat. So she's sweating on everybody. Well, this is a thick sweater. A shirt. It's not a sweater. It's a shirt. I thought it'd be cool to wear it tonight because I had a dark one earlier, and now it's kind of this is a gray one now. I want to be different for tonight. I wore a different one today, right, Pastor Ken? Yeah, so it's a nice one. I might give you this one. So anyway, here it says that at Gilgal, at Gilgal over here, that you know, when Joshua brought over the people, there was not brand new warriors now. All the old people died. The old people who didn't want to follow God, you know, remember that whole time when they said they went over the land and they spied out the land, and the Lord, they said, "We wish we'd go stay back over there at Egypt, and we don't believe what they're saying. We can't take the land." When God says, "You can take the land," he says, "No, we can't take it. We got giants we have to fight. These cities are huge and walled cities. We can't penetrate that." But two guys, Joshua and Caleb, said, "We can do it because God said we can do it." And the rest, the Bible says, God was mad at them over in chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, and verse 27, it says, "Whatever you said in my ears will happen to you, you will die here. You will not enter." And they all died. 20 years and older, they all died. And so they were there for 40 years, and 20 years later, they came back around, and Joshua had led them after Moses, and they come back to a place called Gilgal. And all the new warriors were there, and they all had to be circumcised. Somebody's laughing. They had to be circumcised. But circumcision is a mark that you obey God. Circumcision was only a mark for them that they already believed God. Abraham already believed God, so he received the mark of circumcision. A cutting away of the flesh, cutting away of walking by the flesh. So these new people with Joshua had to be circumcised, and they had to, it's a cutting away of the flesh, and that means everybody now has to walk by faith. We have to walk by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what I'm trying to get to. Did you get it? Yeah? So we can teach about it some more later. But let me take a breath here. So many of the people died in the wilderness, but they didn't have to die early. Nevertheless, they did. There's many people who are walking by sight, even Christian believers or so-called faith people, are dying before their time, and they didn't listen to God. Like, you don't have to have a big experience with God, like his voice and coming out of a cloud and telling you to do something like, you know, stop eating sugar. I mean, the truth, if you have to lose weight, lose weight. That's happened to me. The Lord says to me, you know, begin to speak to me. And I thank God that, we have partners that are watching online. People who give to this ministry that they don't have a church. They're watching here online. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we all have to do something. We all have to make changes this year to follow God. So these people didn't follow the path God wanted them by faith, and so they died. So here's some history again over here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Verse 16 says, who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? You know, he's talking to the new believers here who are born again. And who was God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? These guys had the word. They had the prophet leading them. They had signs and wonders. They had, and yet they still died in the wilderness. You don't walk by signs and wonders. You don't walk by a cloud. You don't walk by a voice coming from heaven. You walk by the word of God. You're to obey God's word as best as you know how. And if you don't have anything else, as Brother Hagin used to say to us, Lord leads me by, when the Lord talked to me, he said, I lead all my children by the word of God. You see me right now, but this is the last time I'll ever come and tell you this and talk to you this way. He said, I'm going to lead you all the time by your spirit, your inward voice, your intuition, that spirit on the inside of you that says, okay, it's the right thing to do. And we all have to walk by this. And a lot of us are waiting for some kind of a supernatural sign, which we're not going to get. God doesn't say, I'll lead you with supernatural signs. He said, I'll lead you by my spirit under the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, they had to have that because they were not born again. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them. We have the privilege of having the Holy Ghost inside of us. Verse 18, to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that he would not never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? Verse 19, so we see here because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. The day faith started for the Israelites was when the signs, the outward signs stopped. The manna stopped, the fire stopped, the cloud stopped. And they got, you know, over here, the Israelites, the new Israelites, the brand new Joshua generation, they had to get circumcised as they did before. And so, it says here, in Joshua chapter 5, verse 6 to 12, New Living Translation, the Israelites traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until at the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died. They had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he swore to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land flowing with milk and honey is the promised land. Milk is necessary. There's some things in life are necessary. Honey is just the sweetness of life, the things that are extra. Amen? You can live without sweets, but not milk. So this is a paid announcement by milk, sponsored by milk. Don't take me seriously, some of you. Okay, that's not real. Okay, so verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Oh, verse 8 says, where are we? Who are you guys?" verse 7. So Joshua circumcised their sons, who had grown up, to take up their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all these males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Thank God, you wouldn't be walking around like that. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today, everybody said today.
Today.
Everybody said today.
Today.
He said, I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Hallelujah. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, that's verse 10, they celebrated the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. So now it's different, right? No manna. Everybody say no manna. No manna appeared on that day. They first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never again seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. That was a good land. So faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. Everybody say, believe. Believe. So you must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to believe. But believe what? That he rewards. What do you have to believe? How you got to do it? You're going to have to continually never stop seeking God. Even when bad things go wrong in your life. Yes, bad things are going to happen. Jesus never promised you're not going to have bad stuff happen around you. If we want to please God, we must walk by faith. It means that we have to believe. Believe is an action word. It's a verb. It means we act on what we believe. Brother Hagin used to say this, act on all the word that you know. Walk in all the light that you know. And then when you do, God will give you more. But still, go back to the word you were last, where God you left off. Go back there, start over again, and go back. There's no shortcuts. You got to learn. Here's what James chapter 2, verse 14 and 18 says, New Living. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Well, we know that. No. You can say you have faith, but if you don't act on what you know, you know, people are dying knowing that healing belongs to them. People are not fulfilling the promises of God. They're called to the ministry, but they've never done anything with the ministry that they have inside of them because they've never acted on it. So when God called my wife and I to go to Rhema, we had no money. We acted on what we knew. Because we were convinced enough that God would sustain us. And so we went. Somebody told me today, I'm glad you obeyed God. That's what they said to me. Because if you didn't, I would have never sat under you. I would have never learned about faith. And so we thank God for that. Because God wants us, I'm doing exactly what God told me to do. I might not know every detail, but I know exactly what I'm supposed to do very generally. But the rest specifically, I must continually to pray in the Spirit and seek God for all those other little steps. The first thing I know is I'm called. I'm called. Called to what? I'm called to pastoral ministry. I'm called to teach the Word of God. I'm called to be here in Thunder Bay. Not to travel all over the world. God didn't call me to sing. No, I could sing. And I could actually play music. But I put that away a long time ago to let it launch it, to concentrate on this one thing, and that's to preach the Word. I see a lot of people traveling around singing. They shouldn't even sing. Most of them that I see shouldn't sing. But yeah, thank God they're singing. Singing for Jesus, and they're doing the good. But they're still, some of them don't, they don't know. They just don't know what they're supposed to do. So it says in verse 16, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing. Well, hope you got something on. But I'm saying that if you don't have extra clothes, there's people who call. Sometimes they need clothing. And so we do our best to give them clothing. You say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you didn't give that person any food or clothing. What good is that? What good is it for you? Say, oh, bless you. Bless you. No, dig in your pocket. I was over here the other day. Now, you judge your own self. I follow my spirit. I know there's some things I'm not supposed to do, but sometimes the Lord says, go ahead and override that. Go ahead and do it. I'm driving over there. This one girl comes to my car. I drove past her over here on the Timmy's over here, not Cumberland Memorial, the first one that goes that way. I walked by and knew right away, what they want from me. And then I ordered my stuff. And another one was standing there past the where I pay. And I stopped. I was compelled to stop. Yes. And talked to me. They said, I need, so much. I need $10. So I dug in my pocket against what I thought I shouldn't do. But the Lord overrided me. He said, go ahead and give it. You know, you got to follow your convictions. Normally, I don't just give everybody something like that because you know what people are going to do. The other day, I'm driving down Cumberland Street, and there a guy was just, a young dark fellow. It looked like an East Indian fellow coming by the city. I stopped, and the Lord compelled me to, I passed him. The Lord said, turn around and talk to that guy. So I went around, and I stopped by. I said, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I said, hey, I'd like to give you some money. He broke down crying instantly. He said, I'm stuck here in this town. I'm hitchhiking from Edmonton back that way. But I didn't say, you need to get saved right now, so on. Lord didn't say anything. Just said, go ahead and give him that money. So I gave that money. What good is it, my brother, if a man say he needs food and you don't do anything, oh, God bless you. So I gave that money. Right? That's what I did. Thank God. I'm just telling you what I did. You follow your own conviction. It might not be you, so don't feel bad if you don't do what I did. I'm just telling you, follow your own conviction. Right? Everybody wants a cookie cutter, and sometimes the Lord will override certain things to tell you to do something. Right? Verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. In other words, you know, you could have faith for something, and it could be dead in you because you never release it. Faith stays dormant in you. It's dead unless you release it. Find some way to release it. Brother Hagin taught us, he says, just find something. How do you release your faith? Find any way you can to do it. You might not fully be capable of doing something. If your body can't move, you can move your finger. Go ahead and move your finger. You know? So verse 18, now if someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you by my faith, by my good deeds. James says, listen, there's consistency in what I say and what I do. If I say something and don't do it, then you don't have faith. In your case, if you say you have faith, but you don't do anything, your faith is dead. It's useless. It's dormant. We don't just talk about faith. We act on what we believe. We act somehow. We release our faith. We put it into operation. As I said, faith without actions is useless. Faith is dead. James says faith is dead. 2:17 says, you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. Let's just go look at this one illustration. We're going to close here. Peter walks on the water. How can you walk on water? Nobody can walk on water. But evidently, one human being that we saw historically here in this book, in Matthew, records it, he walked on water. It says, 14th chapter, Matthew, verse 30, 31, I know some of you kind of went away already in the last 10 minutes. You kind of went away, but I want you to come back for this last part. I'm serious. I know. You need to hear this. Like, you know, church isn't just, you know, for 1 hour and you shut it down. Church is until we start and we finish. Right? Okay, so you got kids. I understand that. I can't help it. You got kids. Matthew 4, 30, 31. But when he saw the strong wind, everybody say he saw the strong wind. Some of you are going to see the strong wind. And the waves was terrifying. Began to sink. When you start looking at what terrifies you more, or what is contrary to what God promises are, when you look at that, you'll be terrified and it'll be taken right off your focus. If your feelings are into that, if you focus on that, the more you focus on it, the more you'll feel what you focus on. That's why the Bible says, you know, 22, 24 in Proverbs 4:20 and 22 and 24 says, keep your eyes on the word, because it's life and health. And if you don't do that, you may die. And just get your eyes on what the doctor's report says, and you don't get your eyes on what the word says. Is that hard? Yes, it's hard. When you don't have any money, you have to buy something. You're looking at what the price is, and you're looking at your bank account. Is that hard? Yes, it's hard. But you keep your eyes on what the word says. Yeah? You're going to need this. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. He said, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Doubt robs. And you know who goes around? He's going to cause a lot of doubt and cause controversy from what you're watching, and tell you that it's not so. Naturally speaking, no human person can walk on water. It's impossible. It's an impossible feat to walk on water. To accomplish that feat, and evidently Peter did. He had a word from Jesus to do it. This act was beyond the ordinary. It was faith in action. His faith from Jesus superseded all natural laws. Faith in the word can do that even for you right now. Jesus and his word are one. But one thing stopped Peter from fully accomplishing what he was supposed to do. That is to walk to Jesus. He didn't. He fell. He fell through it. He had his foot on the water. The Bible says he was walking on the water. Walking on the water. What held him back in this situation? He kept his focus off the word. He kept focus off Jesus. The Bible says in verse 22, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back on the boat across the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Verse 23, after sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray all night. The night fell while he was still there alone. Verse 24, meanwhile, his disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. That sounds like life, isn't it? Verse 25, about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what? Sometimes people call you at all hours of the day. Jesus came forward walking on the water. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Terrified at Jesus walking on the water. Wouldn't you be afraid if you were laying in bed, you saw somebody floating on by your bed? You'd say, oh, who's that? Oh, that's an angel. No, you'd be afraid, supernaturally. In fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. Here I am. So when you're afraid, God wants you to take courage. Yes, there's fear there. Yes, there's fear. But he told you, take courage. That means, you know, despite of that, just go ahead and start believing. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over. Okay, verse 28 says, Jesus called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over on the other side of the boat, and he walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, he said. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. He said, you have so little faith. And Jesus said, why did you doubt me? When they climbed back to the boat, when the wind stopped, the disciples worshipped him. You are really the Son of God, they exclaimed. Peter was robbed from fully fulfilling what God said to him, to come to me. A miracle began, but it stopped halfway. There's some people who begin to receive a miracle, but it stopped halfway because it got their eyes off, you know, Jesus' word or Jesus himself, and they got their eye more on the problem. they lost focus. He allowed distractions to steal his victory. That's what happened. The devil will do all he can this year in 2023 to make you sure you get your eyes off Jesus or off the Word and onto the immediate negative situations that surround you and get you to watch adverse circumstances that say you can't have the promises of God. Keep your eyes. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3 says, wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This year, keep your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter got his eyes off Jesus, onto the waves, onto the waters and so forth. His eyes were, diverted. No matter what you're facing, let's look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we thank you as we close this service. We give you praise for all you've done. You are such a good God, a wonderful God. And I praise you for every person here, that there are people who walk by faith in the Word of God. They don't walk by sight. I thank you. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for anyone here, people who are listening online. We pray for them in the name of Jesus that if they are drifted away, may they come back and focus. We praise you and thank you for all that you're doing for every one of us. And we pray for our relatives who are out there somewhere. Some of them they have drifted away. But Lord, you said if one righteous person prays for a sinner, you will save that person. So we pray for all our family and friends who have drifted away. We ask you to bring them back in. And you said for the believing wife has sanctified, or the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving children are sanctified by the believing dad and mom. And so we thank you because of that. You said your blessing is upon our lives, and that impossible situations that you can restore, bring things even to a better. I don't care how bad you've gone, how far you've gone, and how low you've gone. There's nothing that's impossible. God can restore you to a better place than you've imagined if you just keep your focus on the Lord and stop complaining and stop looking at excuses and begin to look at the Word of God and say, this is possible for me. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Your mercy endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.